Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's begin with a little word study. In our text, Jesus sends out the 72 with a number of instructions, including the following. When you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. That little word, receive, packs a lot of meaning. In various places in the New Testament, it appears simply to be a word speaking of hospitality. Thus, when Jesus enters the home of Mary and Martha, Martha receives the Lord into her home. The same is also used to describe Zacchaeus, whom we're told receives the Lord joyfully. But that second example, I think, starts to suggest that maybe the word means more than simply one of hospitality. For you see, Zacchaeus was hardly the type who would receive someone like Jesus, certainly with joy. Zacchaeus was, after all, a scoundrel. He worked for the enemy, the Romans, and he cheated his own people, religiously cheated them. That he would welcome Jesus joyfully into his home tells us that something more is going on here. And in fact, as one begins to survey the New Testament, looking at this word receive, dechomai, what we find is that it really becomes a synonym for faith. In the book of Acts, for example, written by the man we commemorate this day, St. Luke the Apostle, repeatedly he tells us of various groups receiving the witness of the apostles. So we learn, for example, that the Christians in Jerusalem rejoiced when they learned that the Samaritans had received the word of the Lord. And likewise, in another place, Luke tells us that the Gentiles received this word, causing great joy among the saints. Perhaps one of Luke's more memorable descriptions is of the residents of Berea. He writes of them, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word in all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed." And finally, who can forget the mass baptisms on the day of Pentecost? Of that event, we're told by Luke, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." There is, however, something even more to this word receive when we look carefully. Because in our text, Jesus says specifically, "Whenever you enter a town and they receive you." In another context, Jesus was much more explicit. "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." As you're all aware, when an American ambassador visits a foreign head of state, he represents not himself, but the one who has sent him. He doesn't get to gas off with his own opinions, but he has to speak and present the views of the man in charge. In the case of our ambassadors, that would be the President of the United States. When an ambassador is true to his calling and speaks as he's been authorized to speak, well, that foreign leader who's listening to him needs to realize that the person who's actually speaking is the boss, the president. Now, that ambassador doesn't look like the president. He doesn't come with all the trappings of the presidency, honor guards and military bands playing "Hail to the Chief." Yet, when he speaks as he's been given to speak, his word is as good as the president's. And those who receive the word had better receive it as such. Jesus wants us to understand that the same holds true for those whom he has sent. They are to be received as though it were Christ himself. For the pastor, that responsibility is humbling. To stand before the people of God and to say, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins," it ought to cause a man's knees to shake. As he stands in the pulpit and speaks his "Thus says the Lord," he needs to believe it first off, that indeed what he speaks is of the Lord and from the Lord. And that as the people hear his voice, they hear really not his, but the voice of their good shepherd. For the pastor who takes his call seriously, who recognizes that he is God's man, his representative in a particular place, he must ever have the spirit of humble self-examination as he asks himself, am I faithfully representing my Lord? Not just his words, but even his person. Am I among my people, the pastor will ask himself, as one who serves? The answer to that question, of course, is a resounding yes. Though there will be times when he will wish otherwise. Jesus explains why in the text. He said, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. There will be opposition. You can count on it. And sometimes that opposition will be fierce. But don't take it too personally, Jesus tells us, because remember, if they hate you, they hated me first. Our ambassador to Libya learned that lesson quite tragically last month when the terrorists stormed the American consulate. If our president had been there, you can bet they would have thirsted for his blood. But he wasn't. So his representative, the ambassador, his blood would do just fine. But enough about pastors. What does Jesus have to say about those who receive them, the flock? It's simply this. There can be no greater comfort than knowing that our Lord comes into our midst full of grace and truth, and that he does it quite miraculously through the earthen vessel of another human being, a man of his own choosing, called to speak his word of life. The sheep truly are an amazing bunch. While they joyfully receive a man and the unique gifts that he brings to the task of proclaiming the gospel, they receive him nevertheless with all of the faults, with the fact that he is a sinner just as they are. They know his weaknesses. They've seen all the warts. They know it all. And yet, they still receive him as though Christ himself came into our midst. And as they hear his voice, they know in truth that it really is Jesus who has come among them to bring life. That's why the members of Christ's church, by those members of that flock, pray for their pastors. Even as you, currently members, you students, pray for your pastors, asking that God would grant them steadfastness and courage, and instilling them in the heart of a servant that is molded and shaped after the chief shepherd of us all, the one who came to serve us all. And as for pastors, they pray for their people, that the word of God would be received among them, in season and out. And as they go about that task of delivering Christ's gifts, they do it with gladness, pronouncing the Lord's peace, whatever their condition may be. They proclaim that peace of God which passes all understanding. That was our Lord's instruction to those whom he sent. When you enter a house, say, peace be to this house. In just a few moments, that blessing of peace is going to be proclaimed to you yet again, as the very peace of God is held before your eyes and proclaimed and then placed onto your lips for your salvation. In this feast of life, God molds your heart after his own, so that even in the midst of much affliction, your joy may be complete. And it truly is. Jesus' cry from the cross, it is finished. It says it all. Debt paid, sins forgiven, life restored. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.